Welcome to The Brainstorm, a podcast and video series from ARK Invest. Tune in every week as we react to the latest in innovation and reflect on how short-term news impacts our long-term views. To learn more, visit ARK-invest.com.
ARK Investment Management, LLC is an SEC-registered investment advisor. ARK and Public are unaffiliated entities and do not have a relationship with respect to either firm marketing or selling the products or services of the other, and therefore ARK disclaims responsibility for any loss that may be incurred by Public's clients or customers. The information provided in this show is for informational purposes only and should not be used as the basis for any investment decision and is subject to change without notice. It does not constitute either explicitly or implicitly any provision of services or products by ARK. An investor should determine for themselves whether a particular investment management service is suitable for their investment needs. All statements made regarding companies or securities are strictly beliefs and points of view held by ARK and/or show guests and are not endorsements by ARK of any company or security or recommendations by ARK to buy, sell, or hold any security. Historical results are not indications of future results. Certain of the statements contained in the show may be statements of future expectations and other forward-looking statements that are based on ARK's current views and assumptions and involve known and unknown risks and uncertainties that could cause actual results, performance, or events to differ materially from those expressed or implied in such statements. ARK assumes no obligation to update any forward-looking information. ARK and its clients, as well as its related persons, may, but do not necessarily, have financial interests in securities or issuers that are discussed. Certain information was obtained from sources that ARK believes to be reliable. However, ARK does not guarantee the accuracy or completeness of any information obtained from any third party.
Welcome to The Brainstorm, episode 83. Nick, why are you telling me to transfer all of my money into Robinhood after last week's event?
Okay, Sam. Well, first, Robinhood offers a $5 a month subscription, which is easily the best deal in finance right now. We'll get into it later. The second, it's now a full-fledged digital wallet. And the third, it's actually bringing AI to you, which is a first on Wall Street, I would say.
Okay. Digital wallet. Buzzword. Nick, you know I'm not transferring my money. You know I'm a late adopter.
Well, you're missing out on 2 or 3% depending on where you transferred in.
All right. Let's get to it. Digital wallet, buzzword in fintech. Everyone's a digital wallet. This. What does that even mean? You're saying now they're a digital wallet. What were they before?
Well, I think digital wallet is a buzzword, but you have to really break it out and think about what makes up the components of a wallet. And I think Robinhood, starting in the brokerage space, has now moved into a full-fledged digital wallet. So then now, after the event, they have peer-to-peer payments. They have a checking and savings account. They have obviously the brokerage account and so much more that they're packaging. I think if you look at the space itself, it's really interesting. You know, we've been talking about digital wallets since I started almost 7 years ago, and the landscape has changed so much. And each company that we've looked at, if you look at Robinhood, if you look at Coinbase, if you look at Block, you could even, you know, throw Shopify and some of these other companies in there. They're all coming at the same problem or trying to build this, you know, banking suite of applications and features, and they're starting at different points. Robinhood obviously started in the brokerage space. You have Coinbase that started in crypto. You have Square, which started in the merchant side and then acquired Cash App and has, you know, peer-to-peer. So each one is coming with different, what I would consider, features, and now they're building around those features to offer something that is more accustomed to what, you know, we see with in the traditional space of a JP Morgan, a Chase, a Wells Fargo that has, you know, really it starts around the checking and saving, and then they offer out, you know, different products around that. These companies just starting at different points, but all moving and offering very similar products.
And so why brokerage? I know you were very excited about the brokerage account. So why is that so important to you?
Yeah, I think
other than the fact that you've just been crushing it and have a great brokerage account.
I wouldn't say that, but I would say that, you know, if you think about the hurdle, as you pointed out in the beginning, I'm not moving my assets over. Getting someone to transfer assets, especially when it's tied into a brokerage account, is much harder than getting them to sign up for a new credit card or a new debit or open a checking and savings account, because you're kind of initially starting with zero. Opening up a new brokerage account, right? That's where the competition is. But when you're transferring accounts, that's, you know, very hard. As in, when you've signed on and this is where your brokerage account is, that's a very sticky asset. So for someone like myself, who has been a Robinhood customer for day one, you know, that's typically where an individual like myself is going to keep their assets. You have to do what Robinhood is doing now and offering a 2 or 3%, you know, incentive to move over. As in, you move $100,000 over to Robinhood, they'll give you 2% of that over the lifetime that you keep that money there, assuming you sign up with Robinhood Gold. And I think that's why starting at the brokerage space is so important to this conversation, because breaking into the brokerage space at this point in time, it's a very mature industry. It's much harder to do that. So Robinhood being able to move out from the brokerage, I believe, gives them a much bigger competitive advantage than maybe others believe.
Okay, so then just recap it for me, because I might have zoned out or maybe you didn't answer it. What are they doing now that makes them a full digital wallet?
Yeah, so they're changing their, they have a Robinhood credit card that they've rolled out. It's been available for select customers. I think it was at 100,000, now it's at 200,000. That's a separate application on the phone.
So you have 200,000 users?
200,000 credit card holders. Yeah. Gotcha. So it's at 100. Now they're rolling it out to another 100. So they'll be at 200,000. And the wait list is a couple million people long. That's all of the Gold subscribers. So the announcement they made at this event last week was, we're changing that credit card app to now a full banking app. So that banking app is going to have checking, savings. You'll be able to make transfers between individuals, and you'll be able to direct deposit right into it. And they had some of that quasi built into the brokerage app, but this is really a more full-fledged banking app that's also tied into your brokerage app. So that's really what, if you were to, you know, point at, okay, what is Robinhood missing in the digital wallet space? It was that kind of pure personal banking component, which they're now going after, and they're going after it in, you know, I think the right way. Additionally to that, like, there's so much to unpack here. We could honestly spend like 40 minutes going over.
I know,
over,
but
all
Nick, we're gonna do our listeners a service, and we're gonna.
Well, let me just fold in the other, I think, really important announcements. The other is Robinhood Manage. So they're now offering a robo-advisory service. So you can hand over money to Robinhood's advisory service and they'll deploy that capital on your behalf, similar to, you know,
is that what you were saying? Is that what you were saying is them bringing AI to Wall Street?
No, that's Robinhood Cortex.
Okay, good. Because I was going to say robo-advisors, you know, I feel like that was like the trend.
Yes, so that is the trend. And obviously you have, you know, investment professionals, right, that do this on behalf of individuals, you know, human advisors. Then you have robo advisors. Robinhood is on more on the robo advising side, but really where they're delivering value is on the fees. So if you look at robo advisors, I believe the stat that they gave at the event was they're taking about 25 basis points on a starter account. But the more money you put into that service, typically how Wall Street has worked is the more money that you put in, the higher the actual embedded fee is. So it's like if you were to deploy 200,000 versus 20 million, where I think the scale that they gave, and maybe we can pull this up, but if you were to deploy $20 million, their fee on that could be upwards of 1 or 2% in a human advisory position when you're working with, you know, private banking and wealth professionals. What Robinhood is doing is keeping it at a flat 25 basis point fee all the way up to $20 million. So on $20 million, you're only paying as an individual $250 versus what could cost you almost $200,000 if you work with certain investment professionals.
But they're just doing robo. It's like, you know, if you're paying that, you get full service as opposed to robo service.
Right. I mean, you get the human touch and element. And yeah, there's reasons why that fee could be higher. But I think Robinhood is taking the approach of, we'll get there over time. And they're doing exactly what I think they've done with Robinhood Gold, which is their, you know, subscription offering that is $5 a month or $50 a year if you pay up front. And that is, you know, now you get the credit card, you get 4% APY on checking account and cash. You get all of these different features for a low cost that it just blows away any competition in the market. And I think I tweeted this last week, but it's, you know, that quote that goes around sometimes, your margin is my opportunity. I think Robinhood's ethos as a company is, you know, that quote, right? Like they Robinhoodify.
They're being the low cost provider.
Low cost provider with like the best UI in the business and mobile first ethos and DNA, which is, again, really unmatched.
All right. So then the second point you made, they're bringing AI to Wall Street.
Yes. So right. Robinhood Cortex, I think it's, you know, we haven't seen, or I think there's still more to understand about exactly how it will be embedded in the process, but having, you know, some AI to ask questions to give potential, not advice about maybe specific names, but be able to deliver you news and you can ask questions to, oh, why is this stock moving the way it is today, and having it summarize. And I think it's, if you were to, the way that they kind of framed it was, you know, news and all of these different, all of this different data has always historically been behind very expensive paywalls. And now we're going to deliver it to you through an AI that is essentially free to the individual.
Gotcha. So it is, it's, again, that's like the trend we're seeing everywhere, right? It's like all the service providers we use for earnings call tracking or anything like that, they're all layering in their own AI solution. So you can ask. And so that's, this is their
version. At that.
Yeah. Nice. Okay. And the third point that you were making.
We just went over it.
That was the AI was the third point.
Yeah.
All right. Well, there you go. That was nice and snappy. Okay. Then my question, as I hear you saying all of this, this reminds me a lot of the conversation that we were having about Block, maybe like 7 years ago. So where does Block fit into all of this? Are they doing anything, right? They were another contender for the digital wallet space. They were coming at it from, not from the brokerage P2P side. Exactly. Yeah. So how does this shake out with them?
Yeah, I think I still would consider them a leader in the digital wallet space. But again, when you start from owning someone's brokerage account, which could, you know, result in owning the majority of, or custodying the majority of their assets, to peer-to-peer, where, you know, you're sending 5, 10, you know, you're splitting bills with someone, it's a much harder access point, or, you know, being able to leverage that into a broader suite of banking tools, I think, is a bit more difficult. Block has done a tremendous job, though. You know, they have their tax filing system, they have checking, they have savings, they offer crypto, they have a brokerage account. So they do have all of that in Cash App. But I think the way that Robinhood is executed and where they started gives them a bit of advantage over in the long term. And they're, you know, going after different markets. I think Robinhood is going after, I would say, like more affluent clients, if, you know, you think about the brokerage business. Whereas Block, we did the study, you know, when you and I first started, we watched Max do the study. You know, they've been primarily focused on lower income households in lower income areas. So they've been banking the unbanked, whereas Robinhood has really been giving banking. They're kind of disrupting the bank. And taking the bank's current clients and transferring it over to Robinhood. Whereas I think, you know, Square fits in, and is attacking a different part of the financial services space.
Yeah, I think you did put it well, which is, it's very hard for a traditional bank to then compete, because then they have to compete on fees, and that's not something that they want to do.
Well, yeah, and I think you really have to understand in this space, maybe more than any other space we look at, what is a feature and what is a product, right? Because a lot of what we used to talk about 6 years ago and all of these fancy fintech apps that have kind of just become featureized and are now just attached to these larger offerings of a Robinhood, a Coinbase, a Cash App, like that is extremely important to understand, and that, you know, how we invest in these companies is understanding what is a core feature and what is a product. I'll give you a perfect example. A company like Acorns, right, where it used to have that fancy roundup fee every time you made a transaction. If it was like $9.87, you could round up the 13 cents and it would take that 13 cents deposit as
something.
And people, I think I was one of the first users of that. application because I thought it was really interesting. But if you break that out and think about, is this something that I could then acquire, you know, the majority of someone's assets? Can I tie a checking and savings account? You can, absolutely. But are you in a better position than someone who's or a company that's starting at the brokerage space? I would argue no, right? I would argue it's much easier for Robinhood to issue a credit card and then offer that roundup, you know, as a feature of the credit card. So that I think is really important to understanding because you have so many different players doing so many different things. Like we could go on about buy now, pay later and how much that's meant to the financial services space and fintech space. Like this go, like there is so much happening here behind the scenes, but you do really have to break it out and understand what is a feature and what is a product. Cause then, and only then you can understand like who are the true meaningful players in the market.
And then last question here, can you contextualize the number of Robinhood users and Robinhood Gold subscribers?
Yeah. So let me pull up those numbers because I don't want to quote the wrong figures. But Robinhood, as of the last time they reported the Robinhood Gold numbers, I think they were at 3.2 million. And I think that attachment rate is just north of 10% and has been ticking up each and every time, you know, they launch kind of a new feature around. And
it's like the within. Amazon Prime, but for.
Yeah, finance. I think Amazon Prime, like the Costco membership, where it's kind of like a meaningless amount of money in the grand scheme of what you get in return.
If you're buying 5 pounds of nuts, what's the right. subscription fee?
What's a $60 a month subscription to Costco? I just think what they're doing, you haven't really seen this much innovation in the fintech space, maybe ever. And they've done it within like, you know, just the last year alone, the amount of products they've launched into the market would probably, if we were to, you know, look at every other fintech company, dwarf every single other player. So they're just definitely one to watch and they're pushing the market in the right direction, in my opinion.
Awesome. So we'll track along. What is the thing we're tracking? Subscription to Gold, subscriptions overall, and then AUM. Are those the key things you're watching? Or it's like, what are you using as the test for the thesis?
I mean, it's on a funded account basis. And then I think the Gold attachment rate is extremely important to watch. Because that, you know, shows your kind of power user, mm-hmm. or, you know, the individuals that are then willing to pay for what has historically been a free service, that attachment rate will tell you, you know, exactly how much brand loyalty or, you know, customer loyalty they have. And I think there's plenty of room to grow that $5 a month. I mean, I don't know of any other service other than maybe like Paramount Plus with ads that cost $5 a month. And, you know, what you get behind that $5 a month on a Gold basis is, you know, you can get that money back just by funding a checking account and keeping, you know, essentially $1,500 in cash on Robinhood because of, you know, what you get with APY.
Everything you're saying screams no brainer. What are the people missing? What's Wall Street missing?
Or maybe what we're missing?
Yeah. What are we missing? What are we missing? Or what is everyone else missing?
Look, obviously things can change. The market is extremely dynamic, right? You know, Robinhood could, you know, essentially move in the wrong direction. You know, we've had like, you know, we have to address like they did have a liquidity issue in the past, like. You know, things when you're pushing the pace this fast, there's always, you know, something that can happen that, you know, changes the narrative. But I think they've learned from, you know, being aggressive in the past. I think you won't see that type of behavior ever again from this company. I think if you look at management, what they're doing has all been laid out in, you know, in a very strategic way to go after what they think is a massive opportunity. And the way that they frame it is, we're going through the largest generational wealth transfer in history. There's $120 trillion transferring from, you know, our parents' generation to to us in a lot of ways, and that they want to build a banking platform that allows individuals that are younger that haven't had access to this type of capital to be able to, you know, be set up for the long term. Invest in crypto. And that, you know, that crypto could be an avenue and an area where competition becomes increasingly fierce, right? They're not a crypto first company. Crypto is kind of an add-on. And I think they're moving towards, you know, being aggressive in the crypto space. They're doing an event in 3 months. So they're definitely going after the crypto market. But you have a company like Coinbase that was bred, you know, and born in the crypto space. They obviously, I think it's fair to say, understand it a bit better than a company like a Robinhood. So, you know, that is highly competitive. I think Robinhood's done a tremendous job taking share in that market. But, you know, that could offer a potential, you know, like tangential way and access point of competition that maybe we're not appreciating. But I think, you know, we cover Coinbase, we own it in various funds. We understand, you know, the differences. Coinbase does extremely well on retail and institutional, but, you know, they don't have the equity offering that Robinhood has. So again, you have to understand where each one of these companies is playing and where they're all moving in the same direction. So you have to understand that they're going to compete, and then they're also going to be, you know, friendly in certain areas.
All right. I'll download the app. I'll test it out.
I think you should.
All right. Thank you everyone for listening. We'll see everyone next week. Maybe, you know, we didn't touch on the XAI acquisition, but maybe we'll save that for another day.